Hi, this is Patty Scalzo, welcoming you to the Bible study program, Shiar Jashub, brought to you by the Church of Shiar Jashub Christian Tabernacle in Madison, Connecticut. Today, we will begin the next sermon in my husband, Pastor Greg Scalzo's series on the Book of Romans.
The last time we left off in Romans chapter 2, verse 24, the whole section, remember, as you're going through this, this is it's a long presentation that Paul is making, and you don't want to lose sight. What happens sometimes if you just quote a scripture out of context, you might have the right meaning of it, but you can lose, when you have a long discussion like this, you can lose what the point is that Paul, that Peter, that James, the writer of the letter, is trying to make. And you have to go back. I think sometimes it's a product of our minds being so used to instantaneous answers on television that we have difficulty following long arguments. This all goes back to what we started in chapter 1, where he says in verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, the gospel of Christ, is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." That's how he starts the section. I'm not ashamed of this gospel. This gospel of Christ, it's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, Jew and Gentile, right? The righteous shall live by faith. And then he goes on to say, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men." This is the righteousness of God, this gospel of Christ, and the wrath of God is being revealed against all unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in, what's the motivation? Unrighteousness. And he goes on, as he first proclaims the gospel, then he goes on to show the unrighteousness of men, right? And he describes very clearly, very vividly, the fall of mankind, the fall away from God, the sin of the nations, not thanking God, not glorifying God, turning from God, professing to be wise, they become fools, the idolatry, the heathenism, the paganism, the sin of the nations, the sins of the Gentiles. Right, and then in chapter 2, he says, "Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, you who judge, for whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you who judge practice the same things." And now he starts to talk to those who seem religious, specifically the Jews. Remember, there are Jewish believers in this church. They are the ones that started this church. They are the ones that have somewhat a superior position in the church, right? The Bible gives us the history of that time period. And that feeling of superiority based upon who they are, their pedigree, Judaism, boasting in the law. And he says here, God will render to each one according to his deeds. He talks about the righteous judgment of God. How does God judge? He judges with the reality. He says in verse 12, "For as many as have sinned without law will perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law." And he's trying to bring them to a knowledge that, well, you know these Gentile nations, they're sinners. That's clear in your mind. But do you recognize the sin problem you have yourselves, that just being religious, just saying, well, we have a religious tradition, is not enough? Just thinking yourself a good person compared to those Romans and those Greeks and those Barbaros and all those Gentile pagans, it's not enough. Because what they're expressing in a huge degree, the same problems are going on inside of you. And so this is all to uphold the fact it is the power of salvation for everyone who believes. The Jew and the Greek, everyone needs to believe. Everyone needs to believe what? The gospel of Christ. This is why we need Jesus. It's not enough to say, well, I'm a Jew. It's not enough today to say, well, I'm a Christian. I come from a Christian tradition. I go to church on Sunday. I'm a good person. Right? Same idea. We can get very religious, feel very superior because of what we're doing or the situation we're in, rather than in what he has done. And so Paul here now in chapter 2 is bringing them into an understanding of the danger of the religious trap to think that because I have the law, because I'm a Jew, and now I know Messiah has come, that's not enough. What does Messiah mean to you personally, individually? And we left off last time in chapter 2, verse 17. He says, indeed, you who are called the Jew and rest on the law, and rest on the law and make your boast in God and know his will and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and truth in the law. You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written. And we studied that. That's where we left off last time. We show that from several verses in the Old Testament, where that scripture comes from, and really the entire Old Testament. Remember Nathan going to David and saying, because of you, the name of God is being blasphemed. And you can say that to believers today, people who claim to be Christian, and then by action do things that bring disrepute to the name of the Lord. God judges in reality. God judges in truth. He's not partial. He shows no favoritism. And what is the situation is the situation. The situation is all human beings have bad problems. There's a problem that needs to be dealt with in the Gentiles and the Jew, and it's a problem of sin. And it's not enough to say, well, I'm a religious person. You need Jesus Christ to do the saving work in your life. It is the power of God, he says, for salvation, to salvation for everyone who believes. Without that, there's no hope. In verse 25, we pick it up. He says, for circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law. They must have said, we're the circumcised in the church, as opposed to the other believers who are the non-circumcised. He says, it is indeed profitable if you keep the law. But if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. Circumcision was simply the seal of the covenant relationship of Israel with God, a sign of God's covenant with his people, his physical people, his special servants called out in the middle of a pagan world. And you think of all the nations surrounding Israel and all the gross imaginations, how far away mankind had gone from the religion that Noah had. They all knew it at one point, but they went away from it. That's described in chapter 1. And God calls out a people from Abraham. And now he's going to have a special people that he gives his word to, that he'll set on the center of the stage of human history, that Messiah will come from. And they're a people in the flesh, physical descendants of Abraham. And so there's a covenant in the flesh with the descendants of Abraham, and the sign of this physical people called out, chosen, because of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, this promise to their descendants is seen by the symbol, the seal of circumcision. In Genesis chapter 17, Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. We're going to see that the covenant of circumcision, which is a physical sign of the contract between God and the physical descendants of Abraham, becomes symbolic of something higher. It becomes symbolic of what he says to Abraham here when he gives him the covenant, when he says, walk before me and be what? Blameless. He says, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you and the generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. There's a promise, right? One of many we've just read. I focus on it. Why? It's a promise that seemed impossible for 1900 years. You know, but a day to God is as 1,000 years to man, and 1,000 years is as a day. If you say 1900 years, you know, God promised this to the descendants of Abraham, how's it going to come about? Well, you know, you count on the promises of God. Well, in God's time, it's only a couple of days, and Israel is reestablished. He fulfills his promise. We have seen in our day, the fulfillment of God's promise to this man made 1,800 years or more before Christ, made to him, fulfilled, that they have the land again. That's why there's so much upsetment with Israel. That's why so many people want to see Israel destroyed, because it stands out as a light that God keeps his promises.
You can rehear this program and hundreds of other radio programs on our church website at shiarjashub.org. Serious times require serious Bible study. And on shiarjashub.org, you will find libraries of audio and video programs, information about our church and our pastors, time and place of our services and Bible studies, articles, blogs, and special offers to help you in your walk with Jesus. Current sermons include studies on foundational Christianity, last day events, and an overview of the books of the Bible. On the website, you will also have the ability to donate to the ministry of Shiar Jashub Christian Tabernacle on a secure page. And of course, there are links to our 10:30 a.m. live stream of the Sunday service on YouTube and X.com. Our service starts at 10 a.m. with worship, and then we go live for the message and the Lord's Supper. These videos are left up on YouTube, X.com, and then posted as well on Rumble.com and the church website. And that website again is shiarjashub.org. And you can always check Isaiah 7, verse 3, for the spelling of Shiar Jashub.